Hello, and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is...
My name is Sam Bradley. We fucked that up, yeah. Didn't we? We practiced this. Unbelievable. My name's Sam Bradley, and welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons, Dragons.
Fantastic.
That was me doing that was my Ed impression.
Thank you. I don't know where you've possibly got that from, but... That's a good one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'd usually go on a massive rambling tirade or journey, narrative, some would say, talking about my adventure this week in a ham-fisted way to bring around the question that I asked Sam of how can people get more Starter Set when they're not listening to Starter Set? So what I'm not going to do, which you could conceive that I am doing it right now, is make up a long...
Minute in.
is not make up a long conversational-based thing. Sam, here we go. Where can the people find out more about Starter Set when they're not listening to the show?
You can head over to starterset.co.uk. There you'll find our shop. You'll find all the shows. You'll also be able to get in contact, send us an email. If you'd like, you can also find links to our Instagram, Starter Set Podcast, or our Facebook and Twitter, Starter Set Show, where you can get in contact with us there as well. Eduardo, I've teased it out on some of those social medias, but obviously if people haven't seen them, we've got a new series of shows already and accounted for.
That we do. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we present to you Creature Features. What we're going to do for the next few shows till the end of time is look through a few of those Dungeons and Dragons monsters, villains, bad guys, and all round not very nice individuals and see basically a little bit more about them, what they're about, how you can use them from a point of a DM, how they can be character driving from a point of a player. And we're going to just do a little bit of exploration down there. So, without further pomp and circumstance, let's crack on. I think I'm going to begin, aren't I?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yes. So, Sam, allow me to introduce you to the prehistoric, primordial, primeval individual or entity known as an aboleth.
Ooh, sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat.
To say it is the stuff of nightmares would be an accurate description. So, aboleths are an interesting thing because they are an aberration, right? Mm-hmm. Which puts them in the same class, and I've done air quotes there, which I realise nobody can see because it's a podcast, as mind flayers and beholders, right? The okay. weirdy alien bananas, we've popped through this hole in the fabric of space and time, and now we're here, and we're weird because of that. Aboleths, however, they are weird because they have just spent years and years and years evolving and living. They have been there since the beginning.
So it's kind of like when you see... like ye olde world yesteryear creatures, like I don't know, dragonflies that are the size of houses, and it's like, oh shit, everything used to be like that. And we have a few of those things, like crocodiles and alligators, like, oh my god,
yes.
That must have been a fucking terrifying time to live, because it looks like a monster, but it's not really, it's just what everything used to look like.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the prime example, you've said the alligator things, but it's those sharks that we know have been floating around in the ocean for
millennia. Oh, with the things
millennia.
In the fucking eyes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those bananas kind of things. If you look to, I'll describe these guys in a minute, but if you look to, if you open up Google page, if you're listening to this on, why am I saying if you are? You are categorically listening to this on an internet-enabled device, and it's safe to open up Google and search deep sea creature, and you'll find... and plethora of inspiration to what these things can look like. But as far as the book goes, and as far as they've been depicted since first edition, which is where they first appeared, back at the beginning, I think they first appeared in Dwellers of the Forbidden City, which was an adventure module
old school.
Yes, very old school, which was sort of a jungly kind of here you are in Mayan times, and there's loads of Yuan Ti floating around, which are snake dudes. We'll get to that eventually, I imagine. But as far as they've been depicted, we're talking about a giant, basically a massive eel without a face, which is just like a tapeworm head, three eyes that are like concentric down the center of the creature itself.
Oh.
It weighs 2,900 kilograms.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, a casual deadlift for most people, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a length of 20 feet, which is around 6 meters.
So it's a chunky boy.
Yes.
It's a thick old thing.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, that, and especially with these things, that's all muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Wilson Fisk. The fun things with these guys, right, is this is the part where it starts to get a little bit over the top and a bit weird and a bit sort of Cthulhu-y and a bit H.P. Lovecraft-y. Because Ooh, okay. they've been, number one, because they've been around forever, they're a shoo-in for great old one backgrounds. I'll get to that in a tick when we start looking at how okay. players can interact with them. But these guys have some crazy powers that make them fantastic bad guys. Focused bad guys, right? We're not just talking mm-hmm. like quick encounters. We're talking, this is the focus of five levels of your campaign, is this thing.
You can hang a big old story chunk on it.
Yes. Now, this is primarily because of this one ability. They have an ability which is called Enslave. Now, for those okay. of you who are a little bit sort of D&D aware, we'll call it that. Sure. You'll know that there's many creatures out there that can, for a moment, turn your party against you and, you know, charm them or...
charm you, yeah.
Yes, dominate your mind, that sort of thing. Aboleths are the big guns. They are the nuclear bombs of doing this because most of those things require you to make a save. Require you to make a save during, you know, combat, during a turn. With an aboleth, if you fail it once, that's it. Okay?
You're just under. You just click, I work for him now.
Yes, and you are enslaved.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so everyone's like, okay, well, that sounds like a problem. Now, the DC on this is relatively low. I think that's because wizards have kind of gone, theoretically, they could just take out three of your party and not really break a sweat, which I think is fine. So that sounds bad, right? That sounds pretty shitty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here is the thing, and this is why you can kind of compare them to deep sea anglerfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, because they know that they can do this thing, but that's not how they start doing this. When you're within the space of a aboleth's lair, which is about a mile out, okay. it can start using, number one, the people that it already controls, because mm-hmm. it will have people it already controls.
So it could be like, just to jump in, it could be like a village that's built on top of a ancient lake, many, you know, like a mile down below the cavern or what, half a mile or whatever. And it's just like, oh, these people are kind of really peaced out and really
mm-hmm.
kind of chill. This is weird. Well, obviously because they've grown up here
mm-hmm.
under this thing's beguilement. And
yes.
it's just like it's a whole village of aboleth drones.
Yeah, exactly. And they may not even be aware. They're just floating around doing their thing. And, you know, you come in from a party and you go, everybody's behaving a bit weird here. This is kind of strange. Like, everybody's way too nice to each other. Why doesn't anybody have any beef? This is... bananas. Even the babies are like quiet because
That's
the thing
such
is
a
as far
fun
as we're talking
thing
about this,
to see who notices that to
yes
mess around with your party. What, you walk into a tavern, what happens? Nothing.
Yeah, everybody's
who
having a really
to
jovial
smell that
time
first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've even done that to us once where everything seemed too good to be true, and that's when we all sort of, in our game, we went, oh, it's too good to be true because it's not true, and then everything sort of broke around us. The mirage
there
was dropped and we figured it out.
Nothing scarier than a smiling man crying blood.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that's interesting. Now, the way it brings people in, when you're within its lair, it can do a thing where it can read your mind... right? and it's continually, you know, reaching out and trying to converse with people. And I'm paraphrasing how it does this, but look into it a bit more. It can theoretically get to a point where it looks into your mind and it finds your character's deepest desire. Okay.
Oh my God.
Right.
Oh my God. I would fall for that in an instant.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So it knows my deepest desire. That's not a problem. It can't possibly fulfill that, can it? Oh, wait. It jolly well can, because what they have is they do have the ability to cast the spell Phantasmal Force, right? Which is an illusion spell.
Oh, shit.
So they can place what you're seeking in front of you, or clues to what you're seeking in front of you. And a good DM will use this.
Yes, that's really good. Really like this.
So they'll use it in a way that doesn't feel massively out there, massively like, here's a massive adventure hook that I need you to follow. They will do it in a way that is subtle. An example of this, and I'm going a little off piste here, but I think it's worth talking about, is when you, a standard thing, you go into a tavern and, you know, it's a usual tavern, it's a Friday night, it's a bit busy. Oh, P.S. There's a minotaur sat in the corner arm wrestling everybody else and crying out, who can possibly challenge me with their strength? You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, there's like a gnome. Answer me these riddles three.
Exactly, which should basically just have massive neon lights going, DM wants you to talk to these two. Yeah, so for these guys, for the aboliths, you kind of want to avoid that. You want to avoid making it too obvious that you're showing the people these things.
So it's not like I'm going to walk into a tavern and it's going to be like, ah, Taylor Swift is here. She offers you a Sudoku book and a Jay-Z album and maybe a whiskey.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's that these things are too good to be true. Something's up. I cast whatever I cast to try and figure out what the hell is going on so that I've got some space.
You see how I tried to balance that? I actually like Taylor Swift a lot more than Jay-Z. And I tried to balance that out and make myself appear cooler. But the aboleth saw through it, Ed.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, I just think our listeners know maybe a little too much about you now, is all. Or maybe just enough. You never
know. But also not enough, yeah.
Just mountains of Sudoku books just turn up at the starter set HQ, which doesn't exist, but
I would love that. Send them.
Here's the key. They're all already completed.
Oh, he's done me. He's done me again, Aboleth. He's in a van.
You'll never get me.
Exactly.
Do you remember when we were trying to keep this show shorter?
I know. With that in mind, let's move on to how a DM can use this to interact with his characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of talked about it a little bit. Here's the thing. If you know, number one, they are a perfect great old one patron for a book.
Oh, yeah. Writes itself.
Yes, it categorically does. And it really works for those two warlock subclasses, which are fishy based.
Yes,
you remember there's Warlock of the Deep, and then there's the one which has all the tentacles, the hentai warlock, which I think we spoke about this in not subclassical. Yes, that's what we called that series.
Was, yeah.
So within subclassical, look at a couple of the Unearthed Arcanas for the warlock gives you some of those options, and that's categorically part of that. You know, So that's perfect for your warlocks. But the thing is, right, everybody expects the warlock to be shifty, or at least to be doing things that are weird. And if a warlock goes to the party, hi guys, for no apparent reason, I want you to all follow me down this dark corridor.
Hang on, who told you that? Oh, the devil.
Yeah, exactly. That's, everybody kind of does that with a bit of hesitation. And, you know, 100 insights rolls are rolled, and people, you know, try and figure that out, which is fine. I get it. There is still a element of, I can't remember what the phrase is, where people are playing because they know that people are playing as well. Metagaming. There we go. Bloody hell. Aboleth stole my mind for a moment. What is interesting, however, is when you take this and you turn it on its head and you give it to a paladin. What do you possibly mean there, Ed? I hear the people cry. Well, people.
Will you trust paladins? Paladins go, do you know what? I got a thing. I smell it on the wind. I think we're going in the right direction. You're not. You're going to die.
But this is the thing. With the Aboleth and the way that it does this telepathic probing and pops the creature's greatest desire in front of it, typically, paladins are going to be working to their tenets. They're literally written down. They're, this is what you follow. This is what you're after. And they are driven. Paladins are driven to find what they've been tasked with from their god.
Yeah, they want religious visions. That's exactly. What they absolutely want.
Exactly. And that's exactly what an Aboleth can provide you. Mm. So if your paladin turns to your party and says, Pelor has offered me a vision, we should go down into these caves and I will find a new a relic, one that has been lost for centuries.
Yeah, it's a tentacle that's going to pull your
heart
out.
But the entire party is going to go, that sounds great. You've never steered me wrong, Peregrine the Paladin, so we're all coming down the hole with you. Meanwhile, the warlock's crying, going like, all I wanted to do is play noughts and crosses with you guys with these glow-in-the-dark mushrooms that I found, that I thought it was really cool, but never mind.
They
all follow the paladin, get to the end, there's an Aboleth there, and the paladin's going, what the hell is going on? You know, terrible fuckery ensues. Somebody dies.
Always.
Somebody categorically dies because these things still, even when you're fighting them, have got some horrible, horrible things, which I'm not going to go into, but they can really mess you up. Somebody dies, they all get back out again, and the next time that paladin gets a vision, it's not going to be,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Put the tape back over your mouth. You exactly. were told, Peter.
It's not going to be, yes, we're going to do it. It's going to be, I'm having a crisis of faith. Which is way much more interesting for a paladin or a cleric to have. Perfect. And look, that's...
Oh, yeah,
Aboleths are crazy. They're bananas. They've got some really crazy cool stuff. Chuck them in your game if you're looking for a mid-tier bad guy that isn't, I'm going to pop out of the thing and shoot loads of spells at you, or I'm going to, you know, I've got a bomb that I'm going to blow up and I'm going to run around cackling evilly about it. They're really good for that sort of spy-y, subterfuge kind of game. Oh, quick thing, very, very quickly. Imagine for one second, and I only take this because I think we do that beholder comparison, and this is where it can come really into it. Take Xanathar, right? Yep. Xanathar, the legendary beholder who runs the Thieves Guilds below Waterdeep, I think, or Baldur's Gate. Can't remember right now. Take him out. Nah, it's never been him. What it has been is an Aboleth floating in the background, controlling everything else. And that then makes it a way more interesting little story.
Love it. Yeah. I really like that. That's really cool, man.
Nice.
So you've gone big style.
Yeah.
You've gone big. You've gone Venusaur. You've gone Charizard.
Yes.
I'm coming in with something different.
Oh.
A little bit of Charmander. A little bit of Bulbasaur.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of Pikachu. Yeah. So, where Aboleths are big things you can hang a whole plot on, sometimes you just need something to cut in half and bathe in the blood of its young. I present to you the blight of rangers and farmers everywhere. It is the Ankhed.
Ah.
The chitinous horribleness that we first saw in, I think it's 1977. They've been in the Baldur's Gate games, which I know are obviously based on Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, this is kind of what I chose because I wanted to countenance your great big bad bugger, really.
Yeah, my squishy eel.
Squishy eel, yeah. These couldn't be more different. They're about 10 feet long, 800 pounds of solid muscle and armor. They've got like these weird sort of hooky sort of hand type things, but they've also got like this horrible protruding maw, great mandibles, which we're not going to go into. We've not the time nor the place to go into great mandibles. Have we great mandibles? Definitely not. Anyway, so as I said, the Ankhed is kind of like a stock enemy, but that doesn't mean they don't have to be interesting. You know, in terms of stock enemy skills, they've got a bite attack. They can burrow. They're like AC-14, you know, challenge rating 2. They have the acid spray thing. All very standard, but like the Aboleth, it's about, at least as a DM, it's about how you play that into your campaign. What I'm talking about is basically, yes, it would be easier to shepherd your heroes through a campaign and sort of say, they've worked this out a little bit quicker than I'd like, and they've taken some pretty big chunks. I'm going to throw, he had another henchman he never spoke about because didn't send him a Christmas card or whatever. What Ankheads do is they're a good decision point enemy. You can decide how many you want to throw, and because they burrow as well, this is nice. You can be in somewhere and it's like, we've killed 3. Oh, fuck, they did kill 3. They burrow, boom, boom, 5 more appear. And then they kill those, and then they're looking kind of battered, but you want to rough them up again. Bang, 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 3 more appear.
Yes, that's
so
nice.
There's that element. At its basis level, it just makes sense when they just appear.
What it does nicely, and you've alluded to this a little bit, but what it does is it allows you to continue your suspension of disbelief, right? Because it's not, that was easy. A new goblin steps out and goes, I am Flim Flam and I've been here watching you forever and has never been talked about or anything like that. And players know when that's happening. And as soon as that's happening, you kind of lose... Well, okay, fine. You lose that immersion element that's part of D&D, right? It's when
Something that you have to deal with as a DM, especially after you've had a long roiling campaign, from experience, put a little bit of the next enemy in as you expect the other dude to be checking out, because that's just good storytelling. Anyway, back to the Ankheads. So you can have them as a sort of stock. We're going to butter churn our way through 10 to 12 of these, depending on the amount of heroes and their levels. But you can also kind of flip it on its head. I like the idea of maybe you go to a village and people are being kidnapped by these Ankheads, and people are like, they drag them off in that direction. You have to go and sort them out. Okay, cool. You get there expecting to find a whole nest, and we'll get to how they breed in just a second. It's basically eggs, but there's kind of like a body horror thing you could do with them. It's just 4 of them. And these are... You'll have to homebrew it because the stats, they get like a -5 on intelligence. These are 4 really smart ones. They're like the velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Everyone thinks they're just dinosaurs. Yeah. But they're setting traps and they're appearing and disappearing and luring you. And you realize... when it's far too late, hopefully, we've been chasing something deeper and deeper, and then boom, the big bad comes, and maybe a couple of these are thrown in as the guys that sort of you have to tear through before you can hit the big bad's weak spot.
Clever girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you saying that to me, or was that a reference to what I said?
Hey, man, it's up to you. If you want to keep that, it's fine. I like that. I do like that comparison because that also works quite nicely. Number one, with how these things look, right? They're just giant fuck off bugs. Use your Pokemon reference earlier. Imagine if Scyther was like a real thing. You know what I mean? In our world.
Yeah.
Imagine a Scyther and a cockroach had a baby, and then you get an Ankheg. But
it's basically a blast-ended Scroot, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great reference. I love those. Yeah, nice. So that whole, here's the Velociraptor, talking, and then you get these Ankheg things, which then you start to hear them talk, which is obviously going to be suitably disgusting.
It's kind of like... but you could have it where maybe you do get your ass handed to you and they go to kill you and one turns to the other and goes and they back off.
Or they take one of the characters and, you know, probably the most rotund one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Prime egg laying material.
Oh, don't go there. Yeah. So you can kind of homebrew it a little bit. There's not really a mechanic for it, but this chitin armor that they wander around with, you can carve off. It's a nice, I always thought that was a nice thing for a ranger to sort of go Mandalorian.
Mm.
Kind of like he lives in a village, or maybe you start, or your backstory is you're from a village that was beset by these things, and you, as a rite of passage, had to ping armor off all the ones you killed and build your own suit of armor. Kind of like that, if we're going to talk mm-hmm. about how you can work them as a player. I think they do offer a lot to DMs in terms of a scalable enemy, but also something you can homebrew with very little effort.
They're a very good continual threat.
Yeah.
You know?
We need to get out of here quickly. Why? Because the fucking Ankheads are coming.
Yeah, I've hit one. One's down. One died. Mm-hmm. But there's never just one. We need to move.
Oh, no, because you can, like we said with the... you can have a moment where you maybe find like a birthing hatchery.
Yeah.
And you've killed 10 and then you look out over this sea of eggs.
Yeah. Which just start popping.
Yeah.
And it's just filling the background.
Flood in Halo.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good example.
Mm. Nice. So that's Ankheads.
No, I like them. They're a good... I've never thought of them like that, if I'm going to be completely honest. I've always looked at them and just gone, big bug, see you later. But that's actually a really good, different way to use them, especially that continuous threat kind of thing. That's always a really good one. And you've got... You can even have that kind of quasi-horror thing in there, which isn't zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the looming threat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, nice one, man. I think that's we're pretty close to the end. I don't think we've got time for a random encounters. We've got to trying to cut these shows a little short.
I've got an idea.
Right.
We got to do the noise of our monster. So you got to do an aboleth. What does it sound like when you see it?
Oh my god. I mean, I've got to just do a squelch basically, which is just going to be horrible.
More like a whale, like a.
No. Something like that.
Like you're drinking a milkshake.
Yeah, but it's the McDonald's ones that are way too difficult for you to actually drink. In fact, if I could recreate the sound of turning in a McDonald's milkshake upside down and then it falling out of
that,
that's the one I would do. Right, and but your Ankheads you've kind of done. Yeah, that's disgusting.
I could do this all day.
I can actually tell. Let's just leave the podcast there and just see how long Sam can do it. Right, let's bring the show to a close. As always, ladies and gentlemen, you have been our listeners. If you've enjoyed the show and this style of show, because obviously it's one of our new ones in these arcs that we do, do let us know. If you think that we've missed anything, let us know that as well. You can do all that sort of stuff if you go to starterset.co.uk. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Do you know what they were saying?
No.
Gangi.
Oh, fuck's
sake. It's a throwback, Ed. I'm a master storyteller.